The State Legislative Redistricting Subcommittee will come to order. DJ, please call the roll.
Chair Byrd.
Here.
Vice Chair Robinson.
Here.
Ranking Member Daly.
Here.
Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Barnaby has been excused. Bell. Bell. Brannon.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Garrison.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Hawkins.
Here.
Manny.
Here.
McLean.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Persons Maleka.
Here.
Salzman.
That's you.
Salzman. Snyder.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
Woodson.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, DJ, and good afternoon, members. A few reminders before we begin. If any members of the public wish to speak before the committee, please fill out a form and turn it into the sergeant staff, and also silence all electronic devices. Also, as a reminder for our members and presenters, please ensure that you turn your microphone on when you are speaking and off when you are finished. Members, with this being our second committee meeting, I want to remind you again that this is a noteworthy responsibility for our committee to undertake a thorough educational effort to ensure that everyone has the understanding they need to be able to propose, analyze, and most importantly, vote on legally compliant boundaries. Today, we will review some new updates that have been rolled out on our website for accessibility and public input, as well as discuss some of our map drawing applications, advanced functionality, and how those tools can assist us in aligning with our constitutional standards for map drawing. Before we dive into the substance of our meeting, I want to take a moment to address an opinion piece that was published last week. Chairman Leek also addressed this yesterday in the full redistricting committee. While this piece is truly just two University of Florida professors' opinion, it alleges gross inaccuracies and attempts to cast a dark shadow on the work that this committee is undertaking, and I do not want any of our members or our constituents to wonder whether this process is being conducted above board, as both the Speaker, Chairman Leek, and myself have been very clear from the beginning that this process will follow all laws and the Florida Constitution. The first inaccuracy this opinion piece alleges is that we are hiding elections data from public view. This could not be further from the truth. As you will see today, this elections data is fully accessible within our map drawing application, and the intent of it is being used to conduct a functional analysis. These functional analyses ensure that racial and language minority groups' ability to elect a candidate of their choice is not diminished, which is required by the Florida Constitution. The article also falsely states that we are shielding data from public records requests. The contract that is referenced is written so that the legislature maintains the responsibility of responding to and producing public records, not any vendor or contractor. The article also falsely insinuates that the legislature is using geocoding services. There are no geocoding services anywhere within our application, and that technology is specifically not being used in order to protect against favoring or disfavoring an incumbent, a constitutional standard we must follow. Members, as we will all come to experience, there are outside entities that will try to input their own political desires into our process and to harm the integrity of our process, and we will not tolerate it. So first on the agenda, we are going to look at some new updates to our website, as well as some of ESRI's advanced functionality that will help us align with our constitutional standards. As we have been doing, our goal is to continue educating this committee about the standards that will produce legally compliant maps. With that being said, first up, let's talk about FloridaRedistricting.gov. Members, like we promised during our first committee meeting, as we go through this process and new functionality becomes available, we are going to roll it out publicly as soon as possible. And today we have some new items on our website that we'd like to share. And I'm going to turn it over to Lita to explain it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me get FloridaRedistricting.gov pulled up here. So the first item I'd like to be able to show the committee is actually a new page that we've debuted on the website called Submitted Plans, so found up here in the top. This is where all of the publicly submitted plans will be posted for everyone to view, and I want to walk through a couple components of this website that you'll be able to see. So here in the top, you see three buttons. These are our currently enacted benchmark maps. So you have the House plan, the Senate plan, and the congressional map as well. If you click on these buttons, it will take you to a page where you're able to see all of the details surrounding those maps, as well as some archive files here in the bottom left-hand corner that you can download, re-upload into your own map drawing profile if you'd like to, or just view the reports to kind of see the analysis behind it. going back to the main submitted plans page, if I continue to scroll down, this top section that you see here is focused around being able to search the plans. There's about 8 publicly submitted plans on the website currently. Obviously, we expect more to come, and so we've tried to be able to allow searchability functions by several different categories. The first one here, you're able to select the plan type if you're looking specifically for Senate maps, House maps, or congressional maps, as well as who submitted the maps. There's a selection here for the courts, obviously members of the Senate, members of the public, and then members of the House as well. If you're looking for a specific plan name or a specific submission, these are open text fields by which you can also search, as well as if a map is contiguous or complete. And this dropdown allows you to do some additional search functions as well. Scrolling down here, you can see this is where all the individual plans are listed, and this first view kind of gives you a synopsis of those plans. However, if you click on it, it brings you to a similar page that we saw with the benchmark plans. One additional item I'd like to point out is this feature right here called the web map. Obviously, downloading some of these files and re-uploading it into your map drawing profile, we acknowledge that takes several steps, and so we wanted people to be able to look at maps in a much more succinct way, so we've added this web map functionality. If you click on the web map, it pulls up an image of the individual's plan that was submitted, and as you can see, you can scroll into it, and while you're not allowed to draw from this view, you are able to kind of get a quick view if you want to think about it that way. Additionally, if you click on a district, it will drop down some of the high-level statistics that are associated with that map as well. So again, that functionality will be for any plans that are submitted on this website. And obviously, once we get to the point in the process where members are filing, whether it's bills or amendments, those going through the committee process will also appear on this page. So any map will be accessible by anyone who is on the website. The next page I'd like to navigate to is this Get Involved page. Now, we saw this page during our last committee meeting, but we've added some additional functionality to it, and part of that was in feedback we received. Originally, we had, as part of the map submission form, a form where people could provide comments or details about maps, whether they were submitting them or had other comments they'd like to provide. And what we've done here is added this new button that says Provide Public Input Here. And whenever I click on it, this is an actual embedded form that you can fill out directly on the website. So it's a little less hassle than having to deal with downloading and filling out a PDF document. So as you see, I can scroll down. There's an open text box here where anyone can provide that input. It's automatically sent to the committee and will be in turn made publicly available as well. Going back to the Get Involved tab, I'd like to scroll down actually to the bottom of the page as well. Also dealing with whenever an individual goes to submit a map, there's the form that goes along with it. We received feedback that being able to provide a link to the Adobe Reader, the free version, easily downloadable, we've placed that here at the bottom of the website for individuals who may not have that otherwise. So we want to make sure they have access to it. And along those lines, if I scroll back up, here, we've also added a step-by-step guide on how to use the Adobe Reader, as well as how to add the digital signature to the PDF. So people who may not have access to a printer or a scanner, they're able to do that all embedded within their computer. And if they have questions, they can use this document here, as well as, of course, contacting the committee for assistance. The other item I'd like to mention, and it's not on the website yet, but we will be rolling it out soon. As far as the PDF documents that are on our website, we're working with a translation service to be able to provide those in some additional language to help with accessibility for some of the items that don't naturally translate as part of the embedded text of the website. So again, that's something that we're in process with. That's a joint project we're undertaking with the Senate. And as soon as that is completed, those translated PDFs will also be available on our website. Mr. Chair, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lita. The next topic I'd like to discuss today is focused on some of our map drawing applications, advanced drawing tools, and how they can help us analyze the constitutional standards by which we must make our maps compliant. For those of you who are able to join Legislator University, consider this your 201 course. And for those who are not able to join, I encourage you to watch the posted recording. You can find it on myfloridahouse.gov as well as on floridaredistricting.gov. What I'd like to do now is walk through the next several slides so we can discuss the concepts and the related map drawing tools, and then I will hand the mic back over to Lita to walk us through an actual demonstration of some of the tools. So first, constitutional standards. The Florida Supreme Court has made it clear that Florida's constitutional standards for redistricting have two distinct tiers. In Tier 1, a whole map or an individual district shall not be drawn with the intent to favor or disfavor a political party or incumbent. Districts shall protect racial and language minority groups' ability to elect candidates of theirs, and districts shall consist of contiguous territory. In Tier 2, all shall be nearly as equal in population as possible, be compact, and where feasible, follow existing geographical and political boundaries. It's important to remember Tier 1 standards take priority over two-tier standards in case of conflict. However, within each tier, the standards are equally weighted amongst one another. As we dive in, another important concept to keep in mind is that there is no single correct map. There is no such thing as the best map. As seen in our standards, all decisions must be weighed among one another with the goal of drawing a legally compliant map. We're going to start with Tier 2 standards. So first up, let's talk about where feasible using existing political and geographical boundaries. From the Florida Supreme Court ruling in 2012, they delineated that, quote, political boundaries primarily encompass county and municipal boundaries, which are our first two bullets here. The court then went to state the geographical boundaries are easily ascertainable and commonly understood, such as rivers, railways, interstates, and state roads. In the map drawing application, there are two tools that we will walk through that coincide with political and geographical boundaries: the reference layers tool, and the boundary analysis report. Next up is compactness. In Florida, compactness has been defined by the courts as geographical compactness in relation to the shape of a district. There is no single official or best compactness test the courts rely on when reviewing redistricting plans. The compactness measures shown on the screen here are the three scores the Florida Supreme Court supported during the 2012 redistricting cycle: the REOC, Convex Hull, and Polsby-Popper. Each test is unique and places priority on a certain characteristic of a district. Therefore, it is best to view them in tandem and in context of your district, not in isolation. Let's explore these three scores further. A REOC score takes the area of a district and finds the smallest minimum bounding circle that fits around the district. Like all three of these scores, REOC is rated on a scale of 0 to 1, with values falling closer to 1 indicating a more compact district. Districts that are circular in shape earn a higher REOC score. A convex hull score applies a similar principle, but instead of a circle, it uses a polygon. This measure accounts for indentations in districts, and oftentimes a square or rectangular district will earn a higher convex hull score. The Polsby-Popper score is a ratio of the area of a district to the area of a circle whose circumference is equal to the perimeter of the district. I bet you didn't expect to do some geometry today in this committee. This score accounts for jagged edges of a district. The more jagged edges that a district has, the larger the circle, resulting in a lower score. There's also another test, which is commonly referred to as the eyeball test. Oftentimes, it is said that districts that look bizarre or oddly shaped may be evidence of partisan or racial gerrymanders. And while that may be true in some situations, I would encourage the committee to also remember the state in which we live and the geography to which we are assigning districts. Florida is oddly shaped to begin with. We are a peninsula surrounded by water on three sides, of which we cannot move. Our counties are often uniquely shaped and may have flags that come off one side of the county, in addition to which very few of them are nice even squares like some counties you find in western states. Compactness scores are used for evaluation within context of that district and as points of reference. The compactness test function in the map drawing application calculates these scores for us for each district. The Florida Constitution mandates that districts shall be as nearly equal in population as practicable. In our map drawing application, there are two tools to help you view population figures at various levels of geography. The Identify tool allows you to select units of geography and see how much population is contained within that piece of geography. And the Themes tool, which enables you to apply a color-coded theme across the entire map, to which you can have color-coded pieces of geography that indicate population levels in a given area. Now let's move on to the Tier 1 standards. When defining district contiguity. The Florida Supreme Court has said a district lacks contiguity when a part is isolated from the rest of the territory of another district, or when the lands mutually touch only at a common corner or right angle. In our map drawing application, our check integrity functionality will evaluate the districts you've created in your map and identify if any are not contiguous. The last two constitutional standards allow me to speak to a new concept I'd like to introduce called a functional analysis. Last decade, the court said a functional analysis can be conducted to ensure the standard is met, which states we must not deny or diminish a racial language minority group's ability to elect a candidate of their choice. This functional analysis is conducted by analyzing registered voters, voter turnout, and election results for a given district. Let me be clear. The elections data is not used on the front end to draw districts, but as an analysis tool on the back end to ensure that a district drawn based on population protects the racial or language minority as required to do so. Using elections data on the front end of the map drawing process could inherently violate the other tier one standard listed here that prohibits us from favoring or disfavoring a political party or incumbent. This functional analysis data is being made available as part of the reports functionality of our map drawing application. And with that, I'd like to ask Lita to walk through these examples in the actual map drawing application.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So here you see our map drawing application. The map that I have pulled up is our benchmark house district map. And as the chair alluded, there's a lot of functionality within the software we're not going to cover today. But if you weren't able to view the Legislator University, I highly encourage you to go back and take a look at that, where we go through a lot of the basic functionality of the software. So what I have pulled up here is our current house map with 120 districts. And the first item that I'd like to walk through the chair reference is our reference layers. So if you see over here on the left-hand column, there's a little arrow. And when you click it, a content panel pops out. Here, the fourth one down is labeled reference layers. Let me go through and uncheck these, and then I'm going to zoom into the map and be able to demonstrate these reference layers for you so you can see how they are essentially filters that are applied over the map. I'm also going to deselect the fill districts line so that it's a little bit of a cleaner canvas to look at. So what these reference layers allow us to do is by selecting one, as you can see here, this is our current Senate district lines. They zoomed in, as I zoom in here, they show up in a blue color. If I were to select our current House district lines, you can see here they show up in a green color. And this third one here, as I select our current congressional district lines, and I'll move the map slightly so you can see it better, they show up as a red district line. So they're good points of reference as you're drawing. This next one, which might be my personal favorite, are our primary and secondary roads. The Supreme Court has said that major roads and state roads are a great use of boundaries, and so we've embedded it, as you can see here, I'll zoom out, all across the state. As you're creating districts, if you choose to use roads as boundary lines for districts, you have the ability to see very obviously where they are, with as indicated by these bright red lines. The next one I'll turn on is our railroads, and I'm actually going to switch the base map for this to be able to show the coloration a little bit better. So as I select the railroad functionality, you can see that's indicated here by these orange lines that have tiny hash marks in them. You can see they're applied all across the state. The next item here is our cities reference layer. So as I select cities, and I'll zoom out so you can get a little bit more of the impact of it, you see these different colored areas with hash marks across them. These are all of the legally defined city boundaries in the state of Florida. So if I zoom in here to the Tallahassee area, which is this pink district, you can see it's definitively defined. And as you go to draw, being able to use the tool to fill in exact city boundaries helps comply with our constitutional standards. And I'll actually demonstrate that here in a second. The last item before I move on, just to show, are our county boundaries, which, as you select here, are highlighted with this bright blue color. This last one here that says hydro, that shows all of the water across the state, anything over 10 acres. It also shows the coastline on the east coast of Florida. It goes out to 3 miles of coastline as defined by the Census Bureau, and on the west coast of Florida, it goes out to 9 miles. I'm not going to load it here for demonstration purposes because it does take a second to load, but that is what that last item is that you can select, again, as to use as a reference when drawing. So by leaving the cities selected here, the next tool I'd like to use is actually the Identify tool. So here in the same content window, if you click the Identify area down here on the bottom right, and for this demonstration, I'm going to select from a place. If you click this blue button up here, as I hover over it, it says Identify a feature, and your cursor turns into this little blue circle with an eye in the middle. If you select a city, or it would work for counties as well, it'll highlight that area, and you can see here I have selected the city of Tallahassee. What pops up in this content panes window are all the statistics associated with that city. And if I scroll down to the bottom here, it gives you the total population as well. So we can tell that the city of Tallahassee, as defined by the Census Bureau, has 196,169 people. Now, if you are in the process of drawing your map and you say, I really want to add the city of Tallahassee, let's say to District 1, you can also do that from in conjunction with this window. So if I pull up my district statistics window and select District 1, minimize that again, you can go right here and click the Assign To button, and we'll give it just a second to load. The program will automatically calculate the boundaries of the city of Tallahassee and assign it to District 1. And I will turn on back the fill district colors so you can see that. So previously, Tallahassee would have been indicated split between this brown district here and this light green district. And as you can see, it's now colored in with the darker green color, and it has been assigned to District 1. The next item I would like to demonstrate is in the Review tab. So as we navigate here, this item on the far left says compactness tests. As the chair walked through, there's three different compactness tests that you can look at to view a district. And as you click that, it pops up a window that will actually pre-calculate the scores for each district. So you see here the REOC, your convex hull, and your Palsby popper. This pop-out window is really nice because as you're drawing and kind of going back and forth with districts, it allows you a quick way to check it. The other way that you can do it is in the reports functionality, where it allows you to download a report for your records or for additional comparison. So there's two ways you can view compactness within the software. The next item, also found here within the Review tab, is this Check Integrity function. So whenever you select this, the system will process through a series of checks, some of which will talk to us about whether or not a district is contiguous. And that's actually this last item here, which is called Connectivity Check. Now, as you can see, it's coming up with a red X. And so, you know, as I go, what districts are not contiguous? This is dealing with when I went back and assigned Tallahassee to District 1. By doing so, it split geography between Districts 8 and then within District 7, which means since they are no longer contiguous, the system flagged that. By being able to go back, you know, I'd go back in and reassign or adjust District 1, I'd be able to refresh this report, and the goal is at the end of the day, all districts would be contiguous. The next item, I will close out of that. The next item I'd like to show you is also within this reports drop-down functionality. So we'll click on the VAP summary report. As the chair mentioned, we have elections-related data that lives within the system that allows you to conduct functional analyses on districts that you have drawn. And those are found within these last three tabs here. So as you drop them down, you can see all of the different categories. This first one indicates registered voters that are available throughout the decade. Our software includes registered voters, data for voter turnout, and then election results for all statewide elections from 2012 through 2020. That's general elections and primary elections. So depending on what you're analyzing or what you're looking to do, you can select the categories as needed and add them to your report here on the right, and then run your report. Another item I'd like to point out also in the reports tool is called the boundary analysis. It's found here within the meets and bounds category. and it's this last selection here. Now, this report does take a second to run, so we've pre-populated one for demonstration purposes. And this is how it appears. It is an HTML report that pops up in your window, and it goes district by district, as you can see here on the left, and identifies to what percentage of that district follows these categories. And these will be familiar because the chair read through them earlier as existing geographical and political boundaries. So city boundaries, county boundaries, roads, water, rail, and then if there's a portion of the district that doesn't follow any, it falls into this last category. Similar to compactness tests, what I'd encourage you with the boundary analysis report is there's no golden threshold of which if you meet this, your district's automatically good. It's all used in conjunction when analyzing what a district is made up of and how it looks amongst other districts. So for instance, District 7, which is a district here in the Panhandle, you can see it follows a lot of county boundaries, which the district does, and it also follows 52% of water boundaries, which makes sense because it's a coastal county. However, there are districts that are not on the water, therefore they would score lower in that category, and that's okay. So again, that boundary analysis report is found within the report's drop-down feature. The last item I would like to demonstrate is the themes. For this one, I'm gonna zoom out, and I'm also gonna turn off district fills one last time. So for the themes, this allows you to apply basically color coding to your map to help draw out differences within regions. So for this first selection, I'm gonna do it based on total population. And as I click update, you can see the map is colored according to total population. Now you can see the scale here, which is this red to green continuum. As the map becomes more green, that means your area is more populated. And so let's scroll down to South Florida. You can see the distinction between some of the heartland area compared to the Southeast Florida. It goes from the red to green categories. Within the themes functionality, there's additional drop-down options that you can select that allow you to do different thematic maps. But this is the one that we'll use for demonstration purposes today. And with that, Mr. Chair, that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lita. And members, we are now in questions. Are there any questions on the presentation today? Does anyone have any questions? All right. So I have a committee full of great, ranking member, you have a question?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I do. Just a quick question, and it actually goes back to the first portion of the presentation. So will there be any, I guess, staff level review? I mean, I know we can go onto the website and see the 8 maps that have currently been submitted by the public. I'm assuming that number will grow quite significantly. Will there be any actual review by the committee staff of those maps? I guess I'll leave it there.
Thank you for the question. And so what we're gonna do is if any member, if there's any maps that are submitted, a member of the committee can bring it to the staff for individual review. So we're gonna let it be member driven. So if you find a map that you are interested in, bring it to staff and we'll be more than happy to review it.
Okay, thanks for sure.
Anyone else? All right, we are now going to move.
I don't have a question, I don't know. I wanted to make some remarks toward the end of the meeting.
Okay, yeah, we'll save remarks for the end. Very good. All right, now we're going to go to public comment. Do we have any? No? No comment cards? All right, nobody from the public wishes to make any comment? Then we will have a ranking member, if you have a comment, you can give that to us now.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief. And first and foremost, thank you for starting off the meeting and addressing what had been brought to light in the Tampa Bay Times opinion piece. I did also happen to see the Miami Herald article that was generated as a result of it, where the House provided kind of pushback on some of the comments made in that op-ed, and so I appreciate that. And I know Representative. So I know in watching the full committee's meeting yesterday, I know that Chair Leak is looking into a couple things that Ranking Member Geller had raised. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate your openness and willingness to do that. There were a couple things that I just wanted to touch on, and some of them are me reiterating. This meeting is meeting at the same time as the Congressional Committee, which I understand it's scheduling. It may already be baked in, but I really think it's something we should look at while our presentation today, if I had to look, I'm sure matches almost exactly what that congressional committee went over today. As we move along in this process, we're going to cover different things. We're going to look at different things because obviously our maps are different. Our job is different than that other committee. So my concern is for members of the public who want to be able to participate in both of those meetings at the same time, it really does make it difficult. And I think if you look back, you know, 10 years ago, we did the statewide tour. The legislature sat in different parts of the state to really solicit public input. Our solution to public input this go around thus far has been this website and giving folks the opportunity to submit maps. And that's part of why I asked, are we going to actually be looking at the maps? And I do appreciate your answer on that part, Mr. Chair. And certainly I'll just bring all the maps then. I'm only kidding. I think my concern, again, just goes back to public access and engagement. So if there is an opportunity, I would love for the chair and the committee and Chair Leak and the speaker to consider the opportunity for virtual meetings. If we're not going to go around the state because of time or cost or COVID or whatever the case may be, I think the last 18 months has shown us that as a country and as a state, most of us have gotten pretty comfortable on Zoom or Teams meetings or anything like that. And so I think my ask would be, can we consider some form of virtual meeting to provide actual public access from other parts of the state for folks who can't schlep all the way up to Tallahassee? And I would actually add to that, look, I can't imagine it would be very difficult to find one location, one municipally owned building in every part of the state where someone who doesn't have access to the internet for whatever reason could go and go at an allocated time, and we can go on and have a Zoom and have actual public input from across the state. That gives us the opportunity to take in that input and that engagement without having to do the physical tour that we did 10 years ago. So a lot of my comments today, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your indulgence, relate on public access and engagement. I know you guys have been talking about it. I know we'll continue to talk about it, and I really appreciate that. One other thing I just want to touch on is my understanding is 10 years ago that members submitting maps did not count as a bill slot for a member in this cycle, this go around, they are. And I would ask if we could possibly revisit that. And I know that the answer from the big committee was, well, you have the opportunity to do amendments and things like that. But if we didn't count it against your bill slots last time around, why has that change occurred? So really not of much interest probably to the general public, but for us as a body, particularly where we are in the process, most of us have probably lined up most of our bill slots for our policy initiatives for this year. Repealers don't count against bill slots. These didn't count against bill slots last time around. If we could look at that again, I'd appreciate it as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ranking Member. And obviously, we'll pass along the concerns you've raised to Chairman Leak, and Ranking Member Geller on the full committee raised many of those same concerns. But we'll be certain to pass those on. And people above my pay grade will help answer those questions for all of us. All right. Members, I know there's a lot of information to take in, and as I've said before, and I'll say it again, redistricting is not an easy task. Understanding the foundational concepts that underlie the maps that we will be voting on is a critical initial step. I appreciate the seriousness and dedication which each of you has brought to this committee. And with that concludes our committee agenda for today, and Representative Maney moves we rise. Unless there is objection upon the motion of Representative Maney, the meeting is adjourned.